Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this wonderful day today and to the Maitreya program. And this morning's first article is from the section in Share magazine and is titled Nature Can Save Us from Climate and Ecological Breakdown, by Jessica Corbett. A group of activists, experts and writers on 3rd of April 2019 launched a bold new campaign calling for the thrilling but neglected approach of embracing nature's awesome restorative powers to battle the existential crisis of climate and ecological breakdown. Averting catastrophic global warming and devastating declines in biodiversity, scientists warn requires not only overhauling human activities that generate plant heating emissions, like phasing out fossil fuels, but also cutting down on the carbon that is already in the atmosphere.
In a letter to governments, NGOs, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, and the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, the Natural Climate Solutions Campaign calls for tackling these crises not by only rapidly decarbonising economies, but also by drawing carbon dioxide out of the air by protecting and restoring ecosystems. And they go on to say, by defending, restoring and re-establishing forests, peatlands, mangroves, salt marshes, natural seabeds and other crucial ecosystems, very large amounts of carbon can be removed from the air and stored. And the letter says, at the same time, the protection and restoration of these ecosystems can help to minimise a sixth great extinction while enhancing local people's resilience against climate disaster.
The letter also urges the politicians, non-profits and international bodies to support such solutions with research, funding and political commitment, and to work with the guidance and free, prior and informed consent of Indigenous people and other local communities. The campaign also put out a short video that outlines how nature can save us from climate breakdown. The video notes that exotic and often dangerous schemes have been proposed to reduce atmospheric carbon, referencing controversial geoengineering suggestions favoured by some politicians and scientists. But there's a better and simpler way. Let nature do it for us. Writer and environmentalist George Monbiot, a leader of the campaign, laid out the scientific support for this approach to carbon drawdown in an essay on the campaign's website as well as in his column for The Guardian.
Detailing the potential impact of restoring lands worldwide, Monbiot wrote for the newspaper, "The greatest drawdown potential per hectare, though the total area is smaller, is the restoration of coastal habitats such as mangroves, salt marsh and seagrass beds. They stash carbon 40 times faster than tropical forests can. Peaty soils are also vital carbon stores. They are currently being oxidised by deforestation, drainage, drying, burning, farming and mining for gardening and fuel. Restoring peat by blocking drainage channels and allowing natural vegetation to recover can suck back much of what has been lost. And scientists have only begun to explore how the recovery of certain animal populations could radically change the carbon balance, he acknowledged, pointing to forest elephants and rhinos in Africa and Asia and tapirs in Brazil as examples. And he says, instead of making painful choices and deploying miserable means to a desirable end, we can defend ourselves from disaster by enhancing our world of wonders.
Key supporters of the campaign include youth climate strike leader Greta Thunberg, journalist Naomi Klein, author and activist Bill McGibbon, Penn State climate scientist Michael Mann, former Maldives president Mohamed Nasheed, and activist Yeb Sano, along with more than a dozen others who signed the letter. Healing and restoring the natural world is key to carbon drawdown, Klein commented. Plus, it makes life fuller and richer and can create millions of jobs. Despite the high profiles of many supporters, the campaign launch did not attract the attention of the corporate media. Monbiot took to Twitter to call out broadcast outlets for failing to cover not only the climate and ecological crises, but also potential solutions like those offered by the new campaign. As he put it, they are living in a world of their own.
And continuing on with articles from the May issue of Share International magazine, this one's from the section called The Voice of the People. And it's titled, Over 1 Million Young People Go on Strike for Climate Change. In one of the largest environmental protests in history, an estimated 1.4 million young people in 123 countries skipped school and took to the streets on Friday, 15th March, to demand stronger action on climate change. And of course, that included in New Zealand. The global protests were inspired by 16-year-old Swedish environmental activist Greta Thunberg, who began missing school on Fridays in August 2018 to protest outside the Swedish Parliament. Students around the world soon began similar protests, and now school strikes have spread around the world. And she says, we have been born into this world and we have to live with this crisis, and our children and our grandchildren. We are facing the greatest existential crisis humanity has ever faced, and yet it has been ignored. You who have ignored it know who you are.
Scientists and academics in many countries have signed open letters giving their support to the climate strike movement. Now parents and grandparents are mobilising in support of the youth strikes for climate under the banner Parents for the Future, and have also written an open letter demanding urgent action. The global climate youth movement is doing the hardest part, standing up against the inertia of the current system to protect not only their future but ours as well. We now owe it to them to act, for hope without action is wishful thinking. In an article in the UK's The Guardian newspaper on the day of the global march, Secretary General of the United Nations Antonio Guterres wrote,
these school children have grasped something that seems to elude many of their elders. We are in a race for our lives, and we are losing. The window of opportunity is closing, and we no longer have the luxury of time. Climate delay is almost as dangerous as climate denial. I know young people can and do change the world. Many of you are anxious and fearful for the future. But I know humankind is capable of enormous achievements. Your voices give me hope. The more I see your commitment and activism, the more confident I am that we will win. Together, with your help and thanks to your efforts, we can and must beat this threat and create a cleaner, safer, greener world for everyone. Greta Thunberg, recently nominated as a candidate for this year's Nobel Peace Prize, said, people keep asking me, what is the solution to the climate crisis? They expect me to know the answer. That is beyond absurd, as there are no solutions within our current systems.
We need a whole new way of thinking. The political system that you, the adults, have created is all about competition. We need to start cooperating and sharing the remaining resources of this planet in a fair way. We are just passing on the words of the science. Our only demand is that you start listening to it and then start acting. And this is Angela Merkel's response. The German Chancellor has praised protests by school pupils, urging more action on climate change. But she also sounded a note of caution, saying that they would have to be patient about Germany's phase-out of coal-fired energy. In a video podcast, she said she was very supportive of the fact that students take to the street in the cause of climate protection and fight for it. I know that the students want many things to go faster, such as the exit from coal, Merkel said. But as head of government, I must point out that we have to take a lot of things into consideration. We have to reconcile jobs and economic health and the goals of climate protection. Chancellor Merkel explained that the government had therefore decided on 2038 as the date by which Germany would end its reliance on coal-fired energy. From the point of view of the students, that perhaps seems very long, but the exit will be a great challenge, and I appeal to them to understand that too, the Chancellor said.
And in the words of a master of wisdom, apart from war, nothing so profoundly affects the future of all men as much as pollution. Some countries have recognised this fact and have taken some steps to limit pollution and global warming. Others, sometimes the chief polluters, deny the reality of global warming despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Daily now, the climatic changes prove beyond doubt that the planet is sick and needs immediate and skillful care to re-establish equilibrium. Time is running out for men to halt this transformation which is being daily wrought on planet Earth. Every man, woman and child must play their part in the task. Time is, verily, running out. SOP, save our planet. And that's from an article of the same name, and it was brought through Benjamin Krem in 2012. Another little article here on that theme. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has issued an urgent warning to world leaders, appealing to them to develop concrete plans to deal with climate change. Guterres asked leaders to come prepared to the upcoming Climate Action Summit in New York on 23rd September 2019. The UN Secretary General made the appeal as the UN presented a new report by the World Meteorological Organization on 28 March 2019, which said, "Every week brings a new example of climate-related devastation. No country or community is immune. And, as is always the case, the poor and the vulnerable are the first to suffer and the worst hit. Global climate marches are sending a clear message. Young people are demanding that today's leaders act on behalf of future generations. I echo that demand."
And now, on to something slightly different. German environmentalists are celebrating a decision by Bavaria to adopt a series of measures to save the bees that could revolutionise farming practice across the country. This is a milestone for nature protection and a fine hour for citizen lawmaking in Bavaria, said Ludwig Hartmann of the Green Party, one of the initiators of a petition that prompted the move. This is a reason to be joyful, but also an incentive to jointly advance further important projects for the protection of our environment and the climate. Campaigners from across Europe praised the petition's adoption into law and said they aim to copy it. The petition received support from 1.75 million Bavarians, more than a fifth of the state electorate, and was thought to be the biggest ever of its kind. Other German states are now planning to hold their own public votes. The petition called for 20% of agricultural land in Bavaria to meet organic standards by 2025 and 30% by 2030. For 10% of green spaces to be turned into wildflower meadows, and for land and streams to be more stringently protected from pesticides and fertilizers. Bavaria has the most farmed land of any German state, and that was from TheGuardian.com.
Another article from The Guardian, this one is titled Marine Plastic Pollution. Marine plastic pollution costs the world up to $2.5 trillion a year, says researchers. In a study just published in Marine Pollution Bulletin, scientists warn that social and economic price of plastic waste to global society has been underestimated. Plastic pollution in the world's oceans costs society billions of dollars every year in damaged and lost resources. Fisheries, aquaculture, recreational activities and global well-being are all negatively affected by plastic pollution, with an estimated 1 to 5% decline in the benefit humans derive from oceans. The resulting cost in such benefits, known as marine ecosystem value, is up to $2.5 trillion a year, according to the study. An estimated 8 million tonnes of plastic pollution enter the world's oceans every year. Dr. Nicola Beaumont, an environmental economist at Plymouth Marine Laboratory in the UK who led the study, said the investigation was the first of its kind to explore the social and economic impact of plastics in the sea. Our calculations are a first stab at putting a price on plastic. We know we have to do more research to refine the results, but we are convinced that already we are underestimating the real costs to global human society, said Beaumont.
Plastic waste can be found all over the world, from the most populated coastlines to the most remote. And its impact on plankton, invertebrates, fish, turtles, birds and mammals is all negative, the study found. But the authors also discovered that plastics, which can remain buoyant for decades or longer, travelling distances of more than 3,000 kilometres from origin, create new habitats for bacteria and algae. These colonies increase the biogeographical range of bacteria and algae, and as a consequence, increase the risk of spreading invasive species and disease. And that part was from TheGuardian.com. Now, Slovakia has the first environmental activist president. This is very interesting. Voters in Slovakia have just elected their first woman president. 2016 Goldman Environmental Prize winner Susanna Kaputova, a political novice. Susanna Kaputova ran on an anti-corruption and environment activist ticket, vowing to counter nationalist rhetoric and take action on behalf of the environment. Kaputova won the prestigious Goldman Environmental Prize for her fight to shut down a toxic waste dump in her hometown of Pezinok. And that was also published in June 2016 in Share International. And that earned her the nickname Erin Brockovic of Slovakia. The president holds a primarily ceremonial role in Slovakia, but is charged with appointing the prime minister, among other duties. Kaputova took 58% of the vote in the runoff election, topping European Commission Vice President Maros Šefčovič, who took 42%.
Well, that's our program for the day. Thank you very much for listening in. If you would like more information, check out the website share-international.org, or you're very welcome to write to us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.